Welcome to the Volunteer Nation podcast, bringing you practical tips and big ideas on how to build, grow, and scale volunteer talent. I'm your host, Toby Johnson, and if you rely on volunteers to fuel your charity, cause, membership, or movement, I made this podcast just for you. Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Volunteer Nation podcast. I'm your host, Toby Johnson, and I want to talk about smarter volunteer program assessment today. You know, I've done a lot of DIY audits as well as assessments of some of my clients' programs and practices, and I want to share a few of my top tips because it can be very overwhelming and sometimes even something we kind of think we don't have the chops to handle, or we think we have to hire a very expensive external consultant to come in and evaluate our volunteer programs or our volunteer strategies. And then that stops us from doing anything at all. And, you know, we've got to have this type of learning and data and analysis to continue to grow. And so I'm hoping that today I can demystify the process a little bit. Now, a couple words. I have been traveling quite a bit. We're in our fourth transitional living. We had a flood. For those of you who are not following, we had a flood back in January, my husband and I, which disrupted my business operations. So those of you who are waiting for the volunteer management progress report to come out, I am working on it. I am squeezing it into all the other things we're trying to do, which is basically build back a house from the ground up, basically. Well, not the ground up, from the inside. It was a complete tear out with mold and all kinds of other things. So that's making it a little challenging, but we are almost there. And so I'm hoping to get back into my normal routine with podcasting and hopefully have a little bit better sound quality. It's very hard when I'm moving from room to room to room and building to building to building, or wherever we're staying, hotels, Airbnbs, family homes, wherever we've been. It's very hard to control for sound quality. So thank you for bearing with me on that. A second thing I want to mention is just a note of gratitude to those of you who are longtime listeners. And welcome if you're new. I want to welcome you too. But, you know, I've had some conversations with people lately where they've said they've been a longtime listener of the pod, and it always, I don't know why, it blows me away. It does. So I just want to thank you all for continuing to listen. You know, the pod is a labor of love, and I like to share as much as I can of value to you and help you just keep your confidence up, keep your spirits up, but also, you know, get some good tactics going. You know, I've been in the business for a long time. I've been in nonprofit since I left graduate school, and even before then. So it's been many years I've been working in nonprofits, and so this is sort of a culmination of everything I've learned. Now, the third thing I want to talk about before we get started is, have you signed up for our upcoming free webinar, How to Become an Irresistible Magnet for Today's Volunteers? Have you signed up for that yet? What, if not, what are you waiting for? We have such an awesome way that we are going about this webinar. What we're doing is we've created an assessment, so hence the topic today, but we've created an assessment using a tool called Score App. And we're giving it away to webinar participants, an excerpt of it. The full assessment will be available shortly for our paid Volunteer Pro member community. But also this assessment, we're going to give out an excerpted version of that assessment, and the results are going to drive the content. So I'm going to tailor my content based on the top gaps or challenges that are identified in the assessment. So once you register, and if you're already registered, fantastic. This week, you'll get a link to that assessment via email, and we'll remind you to take the assessment before the webinar, obviously before, otherwise I can't be responsive to you. So that's a really cool thing to be part of. We've got two choices for webinars are happening. The same webinar is happening on two different dates, April 16th or April 18th. And, you know, hey, I'm going to be tailoring my content to the results of your responses using our new baseline volunteer strategy success path assessment. If you want my solutions to your challenges, go ahead and register. You can go to volpro.net/magnet. That's volpro.net/magnet. Save your spot. And again, look for subsequent emails. We'll send you a link to that assessment and you'll be able to score yourself on 5 pillars, our most important pillars or phases of volunteer engagement. Cool. Okay. So let's get going. Let's talk about your Smarter Volunteer Program Assessment and what to include. DIY program assessments are a simple way to evaluate where you are and create a concrete plan for where you're going. By reviewing your program on, you know, maybe an annual basis, you'll have the opportunity to identify your greatest challenges and form a plan to address those that may have the greatest impact on future success. So it's all about focus, right? While obstacles are part of our daily lives, an audit can also help you identify what's going right so you can double down on those approaches. So many of us think about program assessments as something we're trying to find things that are wrong. And I always remind people that we're also trying to find things that are going well so we can start to lean into those things and replicate those things and share those things with others. You know, this will help you share best practices within and outside your organization to expand the quality of services and the engagement of volunteers conducted by everyone. So I always liken program assessment to a fact-finding and really a fact-finding mission to find what's going right over what's going wrong. Certainly, we're going to find some areas that need improvement, but you also want to celebrate your wins, right? So the goal when you do program assessment is to build a plan for that assessment that saves you time, gets you the actionable information you need, and doesn't cost a lot or take forever to complete. You know, some of these program assessments can go on and on and on. And I think, you know, back in the day, maybe we had the stomach for months and months and months of assessment and spending lots of money with a consultant and all that good stuff. But I think now, you know, we're leaner. After COVID, we've got to work leaner. And most of us just don't have the time or energy to go into something that, you know, to that extent. And it's not necessary. What you need is quick, actionable information. Now, the deal with an assessment versus ongoing monitoring is that you're really taking time out to do a more comprehensive view. So it's not just quick and dirty. It's not just like, I'm going to check it out today and I'm done. It's going to take you a little bit of time because you got to do that comprehensive assessment. But I'll talk a little bit later about what you might want to include in your assessment. But let's just start with a step-by-step plan. Really simple. I like to keep it simple here. So the first step is really to decide when you will conduct your volunteer program assessment and how you will get approval from leadership. Anytime you're going to do an assessment, you really do want to let your leadership know, whether it's your supervisor or somebody further up the food chain. It's just important for people to know what you're up to because assessment information can get out and sometimes it's not always pretty. Sometimes it's great, but sometimes we find issues. You just want to let people know what you're doing. Doesn't mean you shouldn't do it though. And you want to pinpoint a date for sharing your final results. And then you can work backward from that date to set a project start date. You know, I'd give yourself at least a month of gathering data, maybe 6 weeks if you're going to do surveys. And you really want to make sure you have your boss's buy-in, but also, and if you're an executive director who's listening, get your board on board and set a date for when you want to have those results ready to share. And that'll help you work backward and set a good timeline for yourself. If you want to know more about the difference between the status quo and exceptional volunteer engagement, check out Volunteer Nation episode 104, The Wow Volunteer Experience. And this will give you some ideas about just some broad brushstrokes about, you know, how far off are we right now? Also, that episode can help educate others about, you know, what is volunteer engagement, exceptional volunteer engagement look like right now? So check that out. That's just a few episodes ago. So if you scroll in your podcast player, you should see it come up. Okay, let's go on to step two of Smarter Volunteer Program Assessment. You need to decide how you will involve volunteers. Now, if you've been listening to me at all over the past, you know, couple years, 100 episodes, 100 plus episodes, and if you're a Volunteer Pro member, you will know, or if you've been in my trainings, you will know that I'm a huge fan of involving volunteers in anything that will impact them. And certainly the results of an assessment will impact them because decisions will be made about making change, right? You want to decide, are we going to just involve volunteers to give us information via a survey? Or are we going to involve them at a deeper level? Are we going to include focus groups, interviews, et cetera? Or are we going to really form a leadership role for them to be involved in guiding the assessment, like an audit committee? And I strongly recommend that. I feel like even when you're developing a survey, getting volunteers involved in helping you define that survey and design those survey questionnaires is really helpful. So step two, you really want to decide to what extent volunteers are going to be involved. And I always lean into deep involvement. I like volunteers to drive the process if possible. You'll just get more honest results. I'm just saying. I've trained volunteers to do DIY program assessments where they led and conducted the entire assessment. The volunteer program manager was just there to provide support. And what a brave person they were, or people they were actually. It was multiple groups. Step three, a smarter volunteer program assessment, develop talking points for various stakeholders. So you're going to have to shop this idea, or at least get people excited about the idea that there's an assessment, there's going to be a report coming, so that people, number one, participate in it, and number two, are eager to hear your results. So if for anybody who's interested in the project, either as a participant, a survey participant, or somebody reading the final report, you want to develop some top-line talking points, and you want to just start sharing them over and over and over again. Hey, we're in the process of this. You can expect a report at this time. Here's why we're doing it. Here's what we're going to do with the information. So you keep the communication open. It's a part of change management, right? Because you want to let people in, keep them in the loop early and often. And you may feel like you're repeating yourself, but you're not. Most people aren't hearing or reading everything you put out. So you want to have those talking points. You don't not just develop them, but share them. Step four for a smarter volunteer program assessment is to decide what you will explore in your volunteer survey. So, you know, if you think about why you're asking questions of volunteers, what pain points do you need to better understand? What data points would you like to benchmark now and maybe track in subsequent surveys? So, you know, I always think of any volunteer assessment, program assessment should include some type of feedback from volunteers. Now, that survey could be a questionnaire, but a survey could also be a focus group or interviews. So there's actually lots of ways. When you think of the word survey, it's not really, we equate survey with questionnaire, but they're not always the same. A survey could be all kinds of ways of gathering data from volunteers in different manners. So what are you going to explore in terms of getting feedback and perceptions from volunteers? If you're feeling a little uncertain about designing surveys, check out Volunteer Nation episode 72, Volunteer Surveys, Are You Making These Mistakes? And I give you my top tips on developing surveys, which I've been doing for a while now. So I've got a few up my sleeves. Step four of Smarter Volunteer Program Assessment. You want to decide whether you will also survey coworkers and volunteer leaders. Do you want to segment different groups and get perception information from those different groups? Is it people who supervise volunteers? Is it your leadership's perception of volunteers? Is it your board's perception of volunteers? What challenges or perceptions do you need to better understand from a variety of groups, community partners, if volunteers are working with them? All kinds of things and people you want to understand. What supports do you already provide some of those stakeholders? And what do you want to assess in terms of the supports you provide them, or what challenges, what pain points do you want to evaluate or just explore? And what data points would you like to benchmark now and over time? I always, when I'm developing a survey, I think to myself, am I going to ask this question again? Or what question is what I want to ask in the survey that I want to ask again and track trends over time? And remember, you need at least 3 data points to create a trend. So you got to ask more than once, and you don't want to change the question next time, or the data won't necessarily be comparing apples to apples. So when you're developing your surveys, you need to be a little bit purposeful. So you're deciding not only what am I going to ask volunteers, or how am I going to gather data from volunteers, but also am I going to gather data from other people about the volunteer effort? All right. So let me get back to you after the break, and I'm going to share some more tips on how to create a smarter volunteer program assessment. So let's pause for that quick break from my top tips, and we'll be right back. So don't go anywhere. Hey! If you're enjoying this week's episode of Volunteer Nation, we invite you to check out the Volunteer Pro Premium membership. This community is the most comprehensive resource for attracting, engaging, and supporting dedicated high-impact volunteer talent for your good cause. Volunteer Pro Premium membership helps you build or renovate an effective, what's working now volunteer program with less stress and more joy, so you can ditch the overwhelm and confidently carry your vision forward. And it's the only implementation program of its kind that helps your organization build maturity across 5 phases of our proprietary system, the Volunteer Strategy Success Path. If you're interested in learning more, visit volpro.net/join. Okay, we're back with my top tips for what to include in your DIY volunteer program assessment. And I'm at step 6 now, but step 1, let's review, was decide when you will conduct your program assessment. What's the date you're going to release it, and work backwards, making sure you've got approval from leadership. Step 2 was decide how you will involve volunteers. Will they lead the effort? Will they just be providing their feedback, etc.? Step 3 is develop some talking points so you can talk it up. Make sure people participate. People are down on what they're not up on. And so it's a real change management strategy to be very transparent about what you're doing so that you can build buy-in early on for change, right? So you're baking in change or buy-in for change. Step 4 was deciding what you will explore in your volunteer survey. And remember, volunteer surveys can be different things. They don't have to be a questionnaire necessarily. It could be a focus group. They can be an interview. All kinds of ways to gather information. Step 5, also deciding whether or not you're going to gather perception information from coworkers or leadership or your board or community partners, anybody who comes in contact with your volunteers or has an opinion about your volunteers. It might be important to know because maybe they have decision-making power on resources, for example, or future intention around volunteers. And we want to know that sometimes. All right, let's talk about step 6 of Smarter Volunteer Program Assessment. Set a plan to use this program audit and create a program audit checklist, I should say, or tool to assess the relevant elements of your volunteer program or strategy. Now, this kind of goes back to step 1 and getting buy-in from your boss. You don't want to just freewheel your volunteer program assessment. You don't want to just freewheel it. You don't want to just say, you know what, we're going to do surveys and we're going to do this and that. There's no checklist that you're checking against, right? You need to establish what that is. What are you evaluating exactly? What is your research project? You know, you got to know what exactly are we assessing? It's not a free-for-all. We're not trying to assess every nook and cranny. How will you methodically work through each checklist? What steps will you take to actively reduce bias as well? So you need to know what that elephant looks like. What are you trying to understand? What's inside the scope of work and what's outside the scope of work? And in addition, how are you going to reduce bias? So, you know, one way to reduce bias is to have a team develop this checklist versus just you. Another way to reduce bias is to have more than one person doing the assessing, right? So there's some different ways to add. When I say reduce bias, all I mean is add multiple perspectives. So you're not relying only on one. Another way to reduce bias is just to simply have other people look at your preliminary data and give you their perspective on what they see before you even tell them a thing about what you see. So lots of perspective. Reducing bias is just bringing in different perspectives about what to research in your program assessment, but also how to evaluate or interpret, is a better word, I would say, the data that you collect. So you're wondering, you know, well, what is she talking about? What are the things we should consider in this checklist that we create, or our program audit checklist? If you're a Volunteer Pro member, we have a DIY program audit training inside the Video Vault. We also have a checklist that has about 8 different domains. If you're interested in that and you can't find it, go in inside the community and just ping me and I'll help you find it. But we have a spreadsheet that scores itself. That's an audit checklist. That's sort of a preliminary, but the next iteration of that is our full volunteer strategy success path checklist that we're working on right now. And again, if you sign up for our webinar coming up, you will get access to an excerpted version. And if you're a member, it's an early version because you'll get the full version a little bit later this month. That's just using our model for how we think volunteer engagement should happen in organizations. What are the key deliverables? Those kinds of things. But there's other things you should also be looking at. So they might be, as I've spoken already about, volunteer perceptions, employee perceptions. So how do they feel, think, what do they know about what you do? You may be reviewing for your program assessment your outcome metrics. And by the way, if you're a little bit shaky on outcome metrics, check out Volunteer Nation episode 36, 5 nonprofit KPIs your volunteer program should be tracking. Outcome metrics, that's another one of my nerdy areas that I'm interested in, and I've been working on since the beginning of time. I started my nonprofit career working in employment and training, and we had outcomes metrics in that sort of subsector of the nonprofit sector for years. You know, those metrics, we were big on metrics early on in employment and training. So I kind of cut my teeth on learning how to develop and create and follow and track program metrics and program performance. So that's definitely a good episode to check out and just learn a little bit more about KPIs or key performance indicators. All right, back to what would we assess? So volunteer perceptions, employee perceptions, outcome metrics. You might look at your program risk management and review your program policies. If you have developed a risk management plan and developed some policies, you might want to go back and review how are they working, what's going well, what's not. If you're a Volunteer Pro member, you know, or you may not know, that inside the community, we have a full training on how to conduct a volunteer risk assessment and prioritization process, as well as a template for your risk management plan, et cetera, et cetera. So, but if you already have that or you're looking to wade into that, consider joining us, but also look at what you've already done and review it. Another thing you might want to consider is benchmarking against others. I think in last year's Volunteer Management Progress Report, we had some benchmark metrics you might benchmark yourself against. You might conduct a communications audit as part of your program assessment. So that means looking at all aspects of all channels of communication, like your website, your social media, your email marketing, all that good stuff. I do these for my Volunteer Recruitment Accelerator clients, and we do a pretty deep dive into all areas of how they are communicating with the public in terms of attracting talent to their organization. You can look at your volunteer recruitment pipeline conversions. So what are the micro conversions at every step of your new volunteer journey. So how many volunteers that come to your website complete your application? How many who complete your application show up for training? How many people who show up for training actually become active? There's all kinds of different ways to cut this, but it depends on your organization and your journey, your volunteer journey. But you can track these micro conversions and figure out where people are getting stuck. So that's it's a worthwhile endeavor. You can also look at your training evaluations for your new volunteers or your in-service training for volunteers and see, is there anything that's coming up trend-wise that you should be taking a look at and improving on? And if you're not doing any training evaluations, it's time to have at least a post-training, quick training evaluation of people's perceptions and what they found most valuable about your volunteer training. And then a final thing you might consider is your budget spend. So what budget has been allocated for volunteer services? At what point in the year have you burned through your budget? And what areas are you missing budget on? So just a full sort of fiscal analysis of the economy of your volunteer efforts, right? It's very, you know, things don't get done if we don't have money to do it. Even though we bring volunteers on and volunteers do not ask to be paid, there is still budget being spent on this activity. Even if you don't have a paid volunteer coordinator or only have a part-time volunteer coordinator, there is still budget being spent. Sometimes it's buried and hidden within the organization's budget. So it may be time to ferret out those different line items and what those budget spends are, and then decide whether or not it's adequate. And it might inform future funding requests, grant proposals, etc. So it's a good thing to take a look at. So those are just some things you might include in your checklist for volunteer program assessment. Of course, if you're a Volunteer Pro member, you definitely want to check out our DIY audit tool, and you would definitely want to take our full comprehensive volunteer strategy success path assessment when it's ready, and you'll be able to score yourself and continue to do it over and over and over again, maybe every quarter, seeing how you're growing your program. So, final step I wanted to cover today was deciding who, when, and with whom you will share the preliminary assessment results and the final report. Now, those are two different groups of people often. The preliminary assessment is sort of to get feedback, to have the report vetted before it goes public. Those kinds of things are happening preliminarily. And then who are you going to send the final report to? Now, number one on your list should be your volunteers, right? I mean, your volunteers, there's nothing better than being transparent about what you've assessed, where you found strengths and opportunities for growth, and what you plan to do about it. Now, any final report should have a bulleted list of some of the things you plan to do. Now, some of those things may be reliant on resources like people, budget, etc. And you may not know if you have the resources yet. So in your final report, you can say, we will continue to assess the viability of doing XYZ. That also helps. Sometimes it's kind of a sneaky way to build. Now, just between you and me, okay, this is a sneaky way to build buy-in for a particular initiative. Just put it in your report that, you know, if we get the budget or people resources to get this done, we would love to get this done. Now, if there's some popularity around that particular effort or direction you want to head based on the results, then maybe you'll be more likely to get some resources for it. I'm just saying, gang, I've worked in nonprofits for a long time. You got to do what you got to do, right? To get your resources, to get things to happen. Now, I'm assuming that you are being an ethical person in your evaluation, that the things that you want to do are the things that are best for your organization's mission and best for volunteers. Your organization's mission always comes first. It comes first and primary over everything else. And so you got to make sure that your program assessment recommendations are along those lines. Sometimes volunteers have a preference for something, or they have a gripe around something that simply isn't in the best interest of the organization. And you've got to make that call. And the call is the organization's mission. So you've got to make that call. But you got to be a little bit savvy when you're thinking about rolling this out. Who are you going to share the draft with? Who will have access to the final report? When and how will you share your next steps with volunteers and coworkers? If you share the preliminary report and your boss or whoever the decision maker is on board with you, then you can adjust that in the final report and say, yeah, we have plans to do this and this is what we're going to do. Now, sometimes it might be, hey, we noticed this from our assessment and we actually don't know what to make of it and we've got to do more study. Now, that doesn't give you permission to just engage in analysis to paralysis and use that as an excuse because you're afraid of taking steps forward or making decisions. That's not the same thing. But there are some times where data comes in and you're like, I don't know what this means. We're going to have to do some focus groups. Or I'm going to have to do some deeper listening around this. And there oftentimes, evaluation often brings up more questions than it answers. And that's okay. That's the nature of research, right? You're doing it well when you're raising questions. And so when you decide how you're going to share it out, you got to give yourself a little wiggle room to talk it through with people so that when you have a final report, you can give people something solid about next steps. But also, some of those next steps may not be completely concrete, and that's okay too, right? Just want to be able to be transparent about that. And, try not to be as very wishy-washy because people don't trust wishy-washy. They trust concrete, clear information. And so if you're working on getting more information on something, you can just say, we're going to explore what this means. We're not sure. And that's okay. And these are the other ways we're going to take steps and take action. Okay? I've covered a lot today. I hope this has been really helpful to you. Just a little bit about program assessment. Of course, I could go on and on about this because this is one of my favorite things. And I've been doing it for a while. But, remember that you can do this. You don't have to hire a high-priced consultant. Now, certainly, if we had lots of budget and lots of time, I would definitely recommend that. If you have unlimited budget, by all means. If you have a huge need that you're like, look, this is chaos incarnate in our organization when it comes to volunteers, and we've got to get somebody else, and we need an outside evaluator who has nothing to do with the inside of our organization, who has a quote unquote objective. I would say no one has an objective point of view. We're all subjective. Everybody has a particular point of view, but more objective. There are reasons to hire an outside consultant. But if you don't have the time, budget, etc., but you still want to understand what's going on to use your assessment as a diagnostic to make changes, then it's time to do that. So that's all I got today on that. So I hope it's been helpful. I'm going to remind you one more time, if you have not signed up for our free webinar, How to Become an Irresistible Magnet for Today's Volunteers, do it because you'll want to get access to our quick assessment. It's only 15 questions. It only takes you a couple of minutes. And then you get this fantastic report that breaks it down in across our five phases of the volunteer strategy success path. You get a score for each one. You get a report. And I will walk through what this means. In fact, in the webinar, I'm going to be tailoring my results and my tips to the assessment results. So I'm not just coming with general topic information. I have plenty of that. But I'm going to tailor what I say and what the tips I offer and the guidance I provide to your results. So I think it's pretty fun. It's a new way we're going about business around here. So I hope you enjoy it. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for joining me today on this episode of the Volunteer Nation. I will be back next week, same time, same place. And I actually hope I may be beaming to you from my home office. We'll see how that goes. I got to get that set up. We're going to see if I can get some good audio going in my office. Anyway, thanks for joining me and thanks for listening. And if you liked us, I hope you'll share with a friend. Please rate and review us. That's the way we show up in the algorithm and other people can find us. All right. Take care, everybody.